tonight. We are continuing our short series on soul winning, and specifically with door knocking in focus. And tonight we are looking at the presentation of the soul winner. Last week we looked at the priority, which is the gospel. And tonight we're moving into the presentation. So 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Why don't we read one verse tonight as we begin? It's there in your notes, or please look it up in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you have given us, Lord, the treasury of faith that we can enjoy today. Thank you for the precious word of God. Lord, help us to believe that you have left us here because you have given us your precious promises to use us as a light in this community, and Lord, to bring souls to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Help us, we pray, to be encouraged this evening and to be helped and prepared in our witness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at the subject of witnessing, I'd like to encourage you to keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one whom we are seeking to please in our witness. The moment a church or a people lose focus on who we're trying to please, that's when we get off track. If you were to go out door knocking, and if you were to look at the person at the door and think about, well, you know, how can I please them in what I say, how I appear, how I use my words, suddenly we start to become another person whom we're not. God has made us to be Christians. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And so we are to keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our example when we are rejected, slandered, mocked in the context of 1 Peter chapter 2. But he is our example in every other area. So tonight we're looking at our presentation, specifically at the door, the presentation of the soul winner in door knocking. And first of all, I'd like to speak about our appearance. Our appearance. So there in your notes, the first word, the first blank is the word appearance. As I've mentioned, whom are we representing? We are representing the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says, "Ye are ambassadors for Christ," and goes on to say, "We beseech you, we invite you, plead with you, in fact, for you, we beseech you in Christ's stead, in his place, be reconciled for God." What an amazing reality that we don't replace Christ, amen, but we stand here on this earth in the city of Cairns representing Jesus Christ. We are sent ones. So our calling and our witness needs to be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the emerging church is something we've been speaking about in church for especially last year in our apostasy series. And most churches today are, let me say, if they have not become emerging, they are becoming. Most churches. Not all. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank God for Bible-believing churches around this country and around the world that are staying faithful to the Word of God. But many are picking up the emerging church's philosophy, this new way of doing church. And one of the main reasons they are what they are is because they believe in order to reach this generation, we have to become like them in our appearance, for example. That's why if you see any of these pastors in these emerging churches, they look more like rock stars than they do ambassadors for Christ. Why? Because they believe that we have to look like the world in order to reach the world. So they're dressed up in jeans and a white t-shirt with a suit jacket, maybe a trendy looking jacket on top, and sneakers sometimes, and hand in the pocket, you know, and just the posing and the music and the lights, and you know what I'm talking about tonight. And that might fill in a few blanks for you. They are what they are, and they look like how they look like because they believe in their hearts, in order to reach the world, you need to be like the world. But they're reaching the world with a different message, of course. And as Christians, we need to be careful not to fall into that trap. And this is what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, verse 2. He said, and be not conformed to this, what?
World.
Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, we are tempted to fall into that mold. You know, there have been times where I've gone door knocking before, and I've changed the way I speak. Started to use slang words, you know, just to kind of maybe sound a little bit more like the person I'm talking to. And the Lord has convicted me and say, hey, that's not how you talk normally. Why are you trying to be someone else, you know, in order to maybe hope that that kind of using slang, for example, will win them to Christ? What does the Bible say? Whom are we trusting in? We are trusting in the Lord and His promises. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And our part is not to be conformed to this world. Our part is to be transformed. In fact, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And thankfully, we don't need to copy the world in order to win the lost. Amen? We never should. In fact, the Lord said, I've come to seek and to save sinners from this world. And we need to be careful not to call them back into the world. Amen? We've been called to call them out of the world, not back into the world. Now, that has to do with our appearance, because remember, in our appearance, we are to honor the Lord. We are to represent the Lord and honor Him and not dress in a way that we think, well, I'm relating to this world, so I'm going to dress, you know, in a T-shirt with, you know, graffiti graphics on because that's going to win them over. Then they're going to relate to me. No, that's not how it works. Look, if people see you at the door and don't see a difference, then they're just going to think, well, I'm the same as them anyway. What's the point in listening to this message? So in order to have an impact, we need to be willing to be different. And we need to be willing to honor the Lord. Now, if you're at work, for example, and Brother Andy, you work in a workplace where you get dirty and you know, you wouldn't wear what you're wearing now. And it doesn't mean because you're dressed in overalls or if you're dressed in work clothing that you shouldn't be a witness. Amen? That's understood. We are to be a witness wherever we are. But tonight I just want to touch upon when we go out as a group, when we go out as a church, we're representing the Lord and we're representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to dress in a way that honors the Lord. Amen? Now I know this is obvious, but it's good to review the obvious at times, because sometimes even I forget. You know, when I moved up to Cairns, it was more of a less of a city place than Sydney, and even I was tempted to put on the jeans and just wear a T-shirt. And the Lord said, no, you need to honor me. Okay, we don't dress to impress the public, and even we don't dress per se to be comfortable. That's not our main priority. Understand, we're not going to wear a suit, you know, to go door knocking. You know what I mean. We do live in a hot climate, but it doesn't mean we're going to wear shorts and a singlet to go door knocking. Amen? We dress to honor the Lord. And that's the important aspect of our presentation to remember regarding our appearance. And when you think about your appearance, here's three words to keep in mind: modesty, neatness, and appropriateness. Now, men, we are challenged by the world today in the area of neatness. You know, everyone dresses like a slob today. You know, half the people think they're bush rangers and growing the big Ned Kelly beard, and you know, don't worry about washing, ironing, you know, everything, anything goes. Well, as a Christian, as men, you know, we want to dress neatly if we're going to see people at the door. So, you know, smart casual, if you understand what that means, basically pants, amen, enclosed shoes, and a casual shirt, neat and clean and ironed, amen. Now, we're not JWs, we're not going to the door in our suits and ties, praise the Lord for that, but smart casual is an appropriate standard in representing the Lord. Not sloppy, okay? Smart, casual, not sloppy. Now, ladies, as well, modesty. Men, we're challenged in the area of sloppiness. Ladies, with ladies' fashion, are tempted and challenged in the area of modesty. I remember shopping for my wife when I first got married, and I realized, wow, This is what it's like shopping for a Christian woman. I never realized how difficult it is, and it is a challenge. Because everything is low, all the tops are low, all the shirts are high, skirts are high, are short, and yet as Christians we need to hold to the highest standard in order to honor the Lord. So clothing for ladies need to be appropriate, not tight, not low, not clingy, not transparent. We ultimately want to, when we talk to people at the door, we want to attract them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not ourselves. So I'm not going to be dressing with my shirt open, amen, and we're wearing a singlet, you know, let me use the extreme example, trying to look cool, lest I come to a young lady's door and I'm the one attracting her attention, not the Lord Jesus Christ. Men and ladies, if you intend to go door knocking, dress in a way that honors the Lord, that doesn't attract anyone's attention to your body. The only part they're attracted to is your face. Amen? Your face and the words that you're sharing. So that is the guideline regarding our door knocking ministry. We want to dress modestly to honor the Lord in order to attract people to the gospel, not to ourselves. And our job is to be ambassadors for Christ. So our appearance, it does matter how we dress. Now, don't worry if you're worried about people thinking you're a JW. Just because they wear long dressers, or if they dressed modestly, or wear smart casual clothing, it doesn't mean we should steer away from it just because they're doing something as well. We need to honor the Lord first and foremost in our appearance. Then next, your approach. These are just some practical pointers when it comes to door knocking, your approach. That's your second blank. Now, when you go to the door, there's the knocking at the door. And once you've knocked on that door, usually you need to wait. But let me encourage you, when you're at the door with someone, with you, you're going in pairs, you're with someone, don't get caught chatting. You know, I've done that before, chatting to the person next to me. Suddenly someone opens the door and you're not prepared to talk to them. They've caught you in the middle of a conversation, which is a bit awkward and strange. So let me encourage you, when you go to the door, be prayerful. Just wait. And just listen to hear if anyone's inside. If no one responds to the first knock, knock again. Maybe a little bit louder. And let me encourage you to knock twice. Now, not three times. Okay, if they don't come for the second knock, I believe that's the point where you say, okay, no one's at home, or they don't want to come to the door. I'll move to the next door. But let me encourage you to knock twice, because there might be someone elderly inside, taking a little while to get to the door. I've experienced that before. Sometimes they're in the backyard. Sometimes they're on the phone with kids. Let me encourage you to be prayerful at the door and to knock twice. And if they're not home, then just take the invitation and slip it under the door. Usually they fit under the door unless someone has a dust guard. If it doesn't fit under the door, then pop it in the letterbox. Now, recently we had voting, and I was reminded about something that I learned earlier on. Don't put the invitation in front of the person's door, visible to everyone else, because what does that say to the stranger walking past that house? No one's home. That's right. Blessed Linda Cooper's promotional team put a little hanger on my doorknob in Redlinch, and she left it there. I didn't even know they had put it there. We go in and out through our garage, not the front door, and it was sitting there for 3 days. And then when I came back, I saw it. I thought, I didn't even know it was there, because our door frame kind of hides behind a pillar, and it was there for 3 days. And, you know, to the public, it would seem that, well, no one's home. That's not a good testimony. I was reminded we need to be careful not to do that, because people do get offended and say, hey, I'm not home, and you put something there, and it looks like to others that, you know, if the house is empty. So pop it under the door or in the letterbox. That's the best idea. Don't leave it where it can be seen if no one's home. Now, smile and be friendly. That's important. When someone opens the door, it does us good to be there smiling, amen? To put on a smile, and when we say g'day, when we say hello, and good morning, good afternoon. It's already an icebreaker to see a smile on your face. If we're worried, if we're panicking, and we're not smiling, that's not a good look. Amen? So sometimes it's good for us to look at ourselves in the mirror and go, okay, that's what a smile looks like. And some of us have seen photos of ourselves when we're looking really serious and we thought, oh, that's how I look. It can be scary. So let me encourage you to smile and be friendly. You know, a smile goes a long way. It tells people that you're friendly, that they can talk to you. But if you don't smile, then that comes off as unfriendly. It's the opposite. Isn't that true? And just communicate with your face. Smile. I remember going out door knocking once and I remember this because the man responded to my appearance. He said, look, you, I don't usually take these from people, but I can see that you're so happy about something. I'm going to read this. And I was full of the Holy Spirit. I was, the joy of the Spirit. And I was excited to go out. I was saying, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you that I can be a witness for you. What a privilege and freedom we have in this nation to knock on people's doors. Who know who we're going to meet? I was excited and I met this guy. I shared my testimony and he took it. You know, being friendly goes a long way. So just some thoughts regarding our approach, our presentation at the door. Don't underestimate a joyful countenance. Amen. Thirdly, your introduction. Now, when someone opens the door, we're smiling, okay? Now it's time to say something. So let me encourage you. Here are some invitations. I've got some in my hand right now. When you say good morning, tell them who we are, okay? Tell them who we are. Now, I was challenged by someone I went door knocking with in Sydney, and he said, James, why can't we just say we're Christians? Okay, we're all Christians anyway. Why can't we just say we're Christians? Why do we have to say we're from the Baptist Church? And I got to thinking about that. I said, Lord, we are Christians. Do we really need to say we're from the Baptist Church? Have a look in your notes there. Here's the verse just to keep in mind. Might help you answer that question. Proverbs 14:25. Let's read it together on two. One, two. A true witness delivereth souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. So there's a true witness contrasted with a deceitful witness. A true witness delivereth souls, is truthful, is honest. A deceitful witness is a liar, hiding something. We are in an independent Baptist church, a local New Testament Bible-believing church. Yes, we are Christians, but we are Baptists. We are Baptists for a reason. And the Lord led me to this verse to remind me that we need to be honest with people. Okay, sooner or later they're going to find out, amen, because it's right here on the invitation. So don't hide the fact of who we are. Let's not be deceitful, because God doesn't bless that to begin with. The JWs are deceitful, have you noticed? They come to the door. Would you like to know about the kingdom? Would you like to be in paradise? Would you like to have a Bible study? What about good morning? What about telling me who you are and where you're from and what you want? That's the first thing that goes through the ordinary person's mind at the door. Who are you? Where are you from? And what do you want? So let's answer their question. Let's do it honestly. Good morning. How are you? My name's James and this is Adam. We are just in the community visiting from the local Baptist church or Coastline Baptist Church. And we're just doing the friendly thing, saying hello. And letting people know who we are. Can I give you an invitation? That's as easy as it needs to be. Just a greeting, friendly. I like to say we're doing the friendly thing because that's really what we're doing. We're doing the friendly thing. We're letting people who in our community know who we are and where we are. Giving an invitation. So please tell them who we are. Amen. Let's not be deceitful. Let's not rely on the words we say. And forget that Christ is at work. Amen. We're relying on the power of God, not our own appearance or our own way of getting around that we're from a church. Amen. We don't need to be ashamed of who we are. We just need to be truthful. The Lord honors honesty. Amen. So use the church invitation. We've made it easy because it says you're invited. So it's designed as an invitation. Just to break the ice, the conversation at the door. So you can say, here's an invitation. Now, let me encourage you to give them the invitation. You know, when someone's standing at the door and you're standing at the door, if you reach out, normally, not always, if you extend your arm, they're going to take the invitation. Not always. But more often than not, if you extend your arm fully, they'll take it. Okay? Don't do this. I've seen people do this at the door. Can I give you an invitation? And they're reaching out. They're nervous. Okay, I understand if you're nervous. But overcome that nervousness. Trust in the Lord. And look, I've seen it happen. Extend your arm. They're not going to chop it off, okay, with an axe. I can pretty much guarantee it. Extend your arm. Trust in the Lord. Give them the invitation. Don't offer it to them. Give it to them. Now, one thing that I picked up along the way, if you give someone an invitation and they take it, if you have another one in your hand prepared, that way, you know, you don't have to point to theirs. You can just point to yours and you can say, we're just from Coastline Baptist Church. And do you know where Balaclava State School is? Oh, yeah. So we're meeting in the school hall there. And we have services on Sunday morning. And they can look at their invitation as you look at yours. Thank you, brother. And, you know, you can point them to, you know, if you see children's play equipment around, you can tell them about Sunday school. If they look like they have teenagers, or if you see any kids in the background, you can let them know about youth group as well. And just give them a friendly invitation. Most people like an invitation. Most people like to be invited to something. It's just a way to break the ice, to show that you care, that you care about them, and that you're being friendly. Now, if you get nervous like me, intentionally slow down what you're saying. Okay, make an effort to slow down. When we get nervous, we speak too fast, we slur our words and blur them, don't we? And we forget what we've said by the end of it. So just intentionally slow down and then ask them some questions. You can ask them, do you go to church anywhere? By the way, most people in Cairns do. Most people in Cairns, the majority of people in Cairns claim to be some sort of a Christian and sometime or other have been to any kind of some kind of church. You can ask them, do you go to church somewhere? You know, do you have any religious background? Did you grow up with any religious upbringing? Have you ever thought about God before? You know, just asking them questions, just breaking the ice. See how they respond. And by asking questions, okay, you're showing that you're interested in them. Be careful not to present the church, give an introduction, give an invitation, and just keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. Okay? We're not there to sell anything. We're interested in them. Amen? So if you're nervous and you get caught just talking, stop yourself and ask a question. You know? Have you ever seen the sign outside the hall before, the school before? And some people have. You know, depends where you're door knocking. And just ask questions. Find out about who they are, where they're from, and be ready to respond. If someone says, oh, look, I'm right, I'm a Catholic, you know, be ready with a response. Now, because I come from a Catholic background, I say, hey, I used to be a Catholic. That's what I say. I used to be a Catholic, and usually they go, oh, used to? What happened? And there we have an open door. And if you haven't been if you weren't a Catholic, you meet a Catholic, you can say, oh, my pastor used to be a Catholic. And you can say that if you want. But be ready to respond, because when someone answers a question you've given, it's an open opportunity to continue the conversation. So, you know, be ready to give a response other than, well, you're just welcome to come along if you like. Be ready to challenge them perhaps, or to talk more. You know, I'm an atheist, they might say. Sorry, I'm an atheist. And you could say, well, when did you become an atheist? Okay? Because no one was born an atheist. Now, you don't need to say that, but depending on the person, maybe you need to be a bit bold, and you can say, well, when did you become an atheist? You know, what discouraged you from believing in God? Because children, amen, naturally believe that there's a God. It's when we grow up and believe the lies of the world, we start to reject God. Man starts to reject God. So be prepared to just ask questions. If you get stuck, turn to the back of the brochure and say, look, before I go, can I just quickly ask you this question? If you died today, would you be 100% sure of a home in heaven? That's the big question. Do you know where you would spend eternity? Maybe you'd like to ask that instead. If you died today, do you know where you would go? Okay? Fantastic question. If they say, I'm not sure, then ask them, well, if you could know, would you like to know? Some people I've experienced said, yes, I would. I would like to know. and ask them if they have time right now to sit down and have a chat. And but this is just our approach at the door that we're talking about. Just some things to say at the door. Give them an invitation and then naturally turn to the back. Some people will just take an invitation and say, have a good day, thanks very much, no worries. Well, at least we've left a good taste in their mouth, amen? They might come, at least that there's a church, and we'll visit them again the next time we knock on their door. But let's leave a good taste in their mouth. We're not there to fight. You know, JWs, I don't know if they still do it, they used to stick their foot in the door when someone closed the door, didn't want to talk to them, they put their foot in there, stopped them from closing it. No, we're not doing that sort of thing, amen? We're trusting in the Lord to save them, not our own efforts, and we're not working our way to heaven. That person getting saved doesn't impact my own salvation. Is that right? We're going out to please the Lord, to honour the Lord, to be a witness. We don't need to worry about fighting with people, arguing with them, and forcing our way into their home. So if they say no thanks, okay, and they don't even want, if they want to hand back the invitation, some of them do, try saying this. It's just a thought. Say, well, why don't you hold on to that invitation? That way you know who we are. And that's what I usually say. Why don't you hold on to that invitation? That way you know who we are. And most of the time they do. Now, if they say, no, I don't want it, then go ahead and take it back. That's fine. You know, but most people will hold on to the invitation. If they say that they'd like to know more, but they don't have the time, ask them if they wouldn't mind if you came back. That's what happened to Wynn. And when Deidre and Colleen visited him, they asked, would you mind if we came back another time? He said, yes. Sometimes when we meet people at the door, it's just not a good time, but they're interested. But ask the question, would you mind if we come back? If you don't ask that question, you're not really sure if they're interested or being polite. Most people will just be polite. Doesn't mean they're interested. So ask them, would you mind if we came back? That's really the turning point. If they say yes, then they're interested. Now, I've got all this written down in your notes if you don't remember. Now, if they say, look, no, that's all right, I'll just have a read of the invitation. We're going to have some gospel tracts available as well for door knocking. Then say, can I give you this? You can just read this in your own time. It's just a more detailed explanation of how you can be sure of being forgiven your sins and spending eternity in heaven when you die. Can I give you this? So just some supplementary material, something more for them to read if they don't want you to come back. So there are just some thoughts, some practical thoughts initially when it comes to our presentation at the door. And usually that's probably as far as you get. Thankfully, the Lord allows us to do unusual things as witnesses. Amen. Where people do want to hear the gospel and be saved. But it's important for us to have a plan. What are you going to do at the door? Well, we're going to smile. Amen. We're going to look like we're representing Jesus Christ. We're going to be friendly, going to offer them an invitation, let them know who we are, and then ask them the question at the back. So very simple, very easy, and we want to make it easy for you to be a witness, to go door knocking. If you don't have any experience, it's okay. It's just a matter of talking to people you've never met before, giving them a friendly invitation, and allowing the Lord to lead. So those are some initial helps regarding our presentation. All right, I'll leave it there for now. We'll continue next Wednesday. But I hope these little helps, these little pointers, will encourage you to step out by faith this year to be a witness for the Lord.